I was glad, very glad, when he said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord today. You know, like, there's like this gladness that we're going to be with him. We're going to be with him. It's good to be with him because he loves us, right? So if you could turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I had left off the first couple of verses here, but I'm going to read them. It kind of goes along with Alan. And actually, we could just be dismissed right now, right? Like, isn't that the message for our life? Like, that little message? Like, that's the message. Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? Like, some of what he was saying, like how we look at ourselves and how we look at God, like we're trying to be made perfect in the flesh, right? But we have a new heart, and in Christ, we're accepted. We're accepted in the Beloved. And by faith, we have access into this grace in which we stand in Romans 5:1. But so Galatians 3:6, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It's quoting from Genesis 15. I'll just read that section. Genesis 15:4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, Abraham, saying, this one, talking about Eliezer, his servant, shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heavens and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. And so we should account as he accounts. Right? God says, you believed in me, you are righteous. Like we take note, we account that. And something is a quote from what Alan just said, accept what the Lord says about you. Accept what the Lord says about you. God says you are righteous. And we'll get into that. But like in our walk with God, we need to continually go back to our foundation. Jesus Christ is our foundation. He's the one who saved us. He's the one who makes us righteous. And so this is Galatians 3:7. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham before him, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. In him all the nations shall be blessed. How are they all blessed in Abraham? Well, Abraham had Isaac, the child of promise, had Jacob, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He had 12 sons with the 12 tribes of Israel, and out of Judah, all the way down the line, came Christ. In him all the nations will be blessed by faith. Then verse 11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So how do we live? Trusting God. Not trusting ourselves. Not having accepting accusations from Satan. Not looking at ourselves and saying, oh no, you know, that's not true. Trusting God. Trusting God. Yet the law is not of faith. So how do we live? By faith. We trust God. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Isn't that interesting? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He's bought us out of the curse. Like in the old times, when somebody owed a debt, they would be taken to be a servant or a slave until that debt was paid. And a near relative could come and pay the debt and redeem them out of slavery. They could redeem them. So we were under a curse. What is the curse? It's the fall. We have an Adamic nature. We have an old sin nature. We inherited it. We were under that. And with that comes death, right? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The old rugged cross, that's the tree. Cursed is everyone. He hung on the tree and took the curse for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So, how? How does that work? He took our sin and he gave us his righteousness. And you look back at Galatians 3:6. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. It was put on the books. It's like a tax credit or something. Like you get it. You get it accounted to you. And so think about that. Like, he took our sin and gave us his righteousness. So how does that work? Like, we might become the righteousness of God in him. How on earth could we become the righteousness of God? And so God is holy and just and pure and righteous, and there's not a spot in him. And he's also love. And he wants a relationship with us, like Alan was talking about. He loves us. He wants the fellowship with us. He wants the relationship, but he's not putting off his holiness. When we come to God through the cross, the payment of our sin, it reveals how righteous God is. There had to be a payment. It like reveals the righteousness of God. It accentuates the righteousness of God. Glory to God. We were singing about glory. Glory to him. Glory to his name. He is righteous. He is holy. He took our sin and gave us his righteousness. Colossians 2:13-14. Having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Who loves Jesus here this morning? Who loves Jesus? He took our sins out of the way and nailed them to the cross. You know, and it's like if we have received salvation, we can't help but say yes. We love Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ compels us. His love compels us to do many things. His love is our motivator. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise. We can receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We receive it through faith. Isaac was the child of promise, but we are too, and you'll see. Verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Wait a minute, they weren't made to us? Well, what? Look and see. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. The promises are in Christ. He's the promise. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. That makes you scratch your head. Even if we could obey the law, we've inherited this Adamic nature. But not only that, if we could be good enough to go to heaven, to come into the presence of a holy God with our sin, if we could be good enough, God would have said, be good enough. Why would he send his son to die on the cross to pay for our sin? We cannot be good enough. But he gives us his righteousness. He took the curse for us on the tree. But the scripture has confined us all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. What do you have to do to get it? Believe. And it's given. Receive. That's it. Believe and receive. It's so easy, it just confounds you. Like, you can crawl up into dad's lap and he wants to have a relationship with you. He's not standing over you with a hammer just waiting for you to mess up. He loves you. He wants the best for you, right? We live by promise. It's a gift given to us who believe. Verse 24, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith and justified. How many remembers a little thing they learned in Sunday school, maybe, what justified means? Justified, never sinned, right? Justified. That's to give you a grasp of it. Like, he's like innocent. Like, we're declared innocent by faith. By faith, just trusting him. His provision. His provision. The law shows us we're failures, that we miss the mark, that we're doomed without a savior, that our heart is desperately wicked, and who could know it? Right? But Christ gives us a new heart. After faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. We're no longer under a tutor. We don't need the law to condemn us. The Holy Spirit can convict us, but we don't need the law to condemn us, to show us that we need a Savior. We have a Savior. We have a Savior. And we can come to him freely. We're accepted. Verse 26, for you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, as many of you were immersed into Christ. And it's interesting, 1 Corinthians 12:13 kind of has a similar like little thing. It says, as many as you were all baptized into one body. We're all immersed into the body of Christ. We're all in Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Where does our oneness come from? Christ. Christ. He's our ID. Our ID is in Christ. And this is not altering or removing male or female distinctions. It's not saying let's be a transvestite if you want. It's not saying that. It's not invalidating gender roles in the church either. It's neither male nor female. Look at this. It's referring to the matter at hand, salvation. Salvation. Abraham's seed, heirs, children of God. That's who we are. And all are saved the same way, by faith, by the seed, by Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's verse 29. I'll go back to verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. Now let me read verse 29 again. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise was made regarding the seed. The promise was made regarding Christ. Christ is our promise. He is our promise. Our faith is in him. We are heirs. How do we get to be heirs? According to the promise. According to our faith. James 2, 5 to 6. I thought this was interesting, talking about heirs. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Like, think about that. Has God not chosen the poor of the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? Like, it's interesting. The poor people, like, sometimes we look at them and we say, okay, there's different ways you can become poor. One, you fall on hard times, right? The circumstances just mess you up. Like, my great-grandparents lived in Perry, Illinois, and had a really nice farm. And my great-grandmother got sick, and they mortgaged the farm and kept paying and paying for doctors until they lost the whole farm. They ended up being sharecroppers on their own land. You know, they were really poor. And my great-great-grandmother's parents didn't want her to marry, you know, because that side of the family was poor. You know, but what happens when people are like that? They get broken. They're more open to God. They need God, right? And like, really, we should all kind of have that mentality, like we're poor, we're weak, we need God. So has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith? Now, sometimes we think of poor like maybe their circumstances, they're falling on hard times, but maybe they're not as capable, you know, or smart or knowledgeable or organized or good at controlling their emotions or responsible or whatever. Like we could have some label for them, but here's God's label: rich in faith. Like they can have tremendous faith. They can trust God through anything and everything. And it's like, I want that. And the world might look down on them, but they have a lot of faith, and that pleases God. And so what pleases God? Faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So of all our doing and whatever, you know, like, just believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who seek him. 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 31, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, like well-born, are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and he has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, the seed, the promise, who became for us wisdom from God. If we have Christ, we have wisdom from God. If we trust Jesus, we have wisdom from God. It's another kind of wisdom. It's another kind of wisdom than wisdom from this world. It's much higher. And righteousness. Get this up. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness. Remember, he traded our sin for his righteousness. And sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Isn't like we're here to glory? We got a lot of those songs this morning about glorifying. Do we glory? Yes. In the Lord we glory. We have an awesome God. We glory. Praise God. In humility, we can say, I'm a foolish sinner. I'm weak. Like in my natural man. Like John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nada, zilch. Like I have nothing to offer, and I'm weak as can be. I'm weaker than weak. I'm like a slug. Like can do nothing apart from him. But in Christ, through Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? With my new heart, I'm accepted and I'm loved. God, there's nothing I need to do. Like I believe. I believe in him. But God has forgiven me all trespasses. Like I'm weak and I'm a foolish sinner, but God's forgiven me everything. He's nailed my sin to the cross. He's traded me his righteousness for my sin. And God is stronger and mighty. And you know that song, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Like that's what we say. That's what we sing. And we praise God because of it. Yeah. Let's pray. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. And Jesus is continually making intercession for us. There's a 24-hour prayer meeting going on. Day and night, let incense arise. And we just join in that right now. Let the incense arise. And we just worship you this morning, Lord. We glorify your holy name. If there's anyone here who's never traded their sin for his righteousness, you can do that now. Just call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Just believe that he took the requirements and nailed them to the cross for you, on your behalf. Just call on God. Call on him. Admit you're a sinner. Admit you need a Savior. Ask him to come into your life and save you. Believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. And Lord, we just pray that we can walk in that and live in that and rest in that and not have to strive, that we'll just walk with you by faith, Lord. And glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.